Welcome back to the 9-8 podcast, the home of everything progressive and underground right here in Australia. My name is Alex Hogan, and every fortnight I am joined by Mr. Dave Ellis. Hello, Dave.
G'day, g'day. I'm coming to you from the isolated eastern coast of Australia.
Yay. Yeah. We're self-isolating as well here in Western Australia because neither of us can afford to be sick, which is, yeah. Okay. Strange times we live in, Dave. Strange times we live in.
We got the order on Friday, which is yesterday at time of recording, to basically work from home for the foreseeable future. So it'll be interesting to see how the NBN copes. Not that we're on the NBN here, but anyway.
I was going to say badly is how it will cope. Thank you very much, Mr. Murdoch.
Exactly. So big episode. Obviously, we're going to be focusing on Australian stuff and going to be talking a little bit about that pesky COVID thing that's getting around and what we can do to help. But Hoggy, you've got some stuff on here, a little bit of follow out, I believe.
Yes. So by the time that this episode is released, you hopefully will have all heard the interview that I did with the boys from Anubis. If you haven't, please go back and listen to that one. We'll throw a link in the show notes to that. But in between the episode being recorded and now, the record has come out. And so we've all had a chance to listen to it. And Dave, what do you think of that record?
I really loved it.
There's definitely a lot of anger and despair on the record, isn't there?
Yeah, there really is. And it was interesting listening to the interview, obviously, through the edit process. A lot of the things that were brought up about, you know, a lot of the lyrics that are in there were almost prophetic on what is sort of happening right now. So it was very interesting to hear. But the album itself is typical of Anubis, just fantastic. Very, very well put together. Extremely well thought out. You know, very, very prog. That Euro style of prog, which I'm really, and you brought this up in the interview. Actually, I'm sort of upset that it's not bigger here, because it's absolutely sensational music. So, but no, it was brilliant and a brilliant interview too. I must say, as always, I'm always a bit shocked at your ability to do interviews, to be really honest with you. not because you know, I get jealous or anything like that, but you actually ask these questions and it's like, oh, okay, well, that's like you would, a decent journalist would ask those questions. You know what I mean? So either I'm rubbing off on you or, you know, doing this whole thing, is just helping you out and you're asking some really, really good questions, which is brilliant, you know, and you're getting a lot of really, really cool answers out of people, which is great.
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say. I always wonder whether or not I actually, am I asking anything interesting or am I just prattling on?
No, it's always interesting. Always interesting. Yeah. So
I can never be accused of prattling on, though, when I do an interview with Nick Barrett.
Not at all.
So we have one final piece of follow-up here from friend of the show, Malcolm Galloway, over at Hats Off Gentlemen, It's Adequate. Now, on that episode where we went track by track on his album, we posed a series of questions, and he wrote us a rather lengthy email to go with those. But I'm going to read out parts of those to you now. So you, Dave, were talking about the cover art.
Mm-hmm.
So the cover art is by Mrs. White Photo Art.
Hang on. They were photos?
Photo art. So maybe there was like photos and then there's been some Photoshop trickery to make it look like a thing. I'm not sure. I don't have any more details on that. But there will be a link in the show notes to a sales link for you to purchase that if you wish. There might not actually, just so we're here clear, Dave, there might not actually be a sales link. He said he was going to message her for one. I don't think he's actually done it, but I'll chase him for it.
Yep.
So if there isn't one, cut that bit.
Yeah, that's right.
So he had some comments as well about what you were saying about his voice. He said that those are fair enough. Unlike a guitar or a synth where you choose the sound, I don't have much choice over the basic sound of my voice, and it isn't necessarily the sound I would prefer. On the other hand, if I don't sing my songs, nobody else will.
Well, I tell you what, I will put it out there. I'm not much of a singer, but if he ever wants a guest vocalist, let me know. I'm more than happy to help him out.
There's a reason why I don't sing or play an instrument. It's because I'm terrible. And because there's a high chance that my wife won't actually hear this for a couple of months. She's still working her way through the backlog of this show. Her voice is even worse.
Okay. Well, that's, do you want me to cut that or?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, cut that. So there was something else as well about the song Inhibitors, one that we both actually really enjoyed. He said he'd been wondering whether they should include that track on the album at all. Would it be annoyingly atonal or experimental for people who don't like that sort of thing? He's glad that they decided to do it, although I still find it a bit disturbing if I listen to it at night with headphones in the dark.
Yeah, I can see that. That's, it's actually, it's a really eerie soundscape of a track. I can't remember if I said that in our album review episode, but it is a very eerie song.
Yeah. So a little bit of, as well, on how they actually made the song, because we were wondering how it was done, what can be done, what you do to make a thing like that. So everything that they do is recorded, edited, mixed, and mastered on a laptop at home. Catherine, the flute player, came up with some flute stuff, including some extended techniques such as whistle tones, which produce very high harmonics. I know a little bit about flute playing. That is incredibly hard to do, so well done to her for creating those. Then he cut up fragments of the flute phrases and altered it in Melodyne. And then the phrases were placed in different parts of the aural space. A variety of different delays were used to move the fragments of the tracks around the space. Some of these delays then feed back into each other to make rhythmic patterns. And the feedback timings are manipulated during the piece to change the rhythms. Some of these delayed patterns were then rendered down and further manipulated. So a lot of like Pro Tools trickery and wizardry to get that one happening.
It's really cool though. This is kind of the definition of prog music, right? So, you know, this is the very definition of altering things and changing things and pushing the envelope and everything like that. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And thank the Lord that they kept it on the actual album.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It kind of reminds me of the story of Space Divest, you know, the Dream Theater song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they almost, like, that almost got cut from the record when Kevin Moore quit the band because they were like, I don't know, do we want this on the record now because it's kind of his song and, you know, all that.
Glad they didn't.
Absolutely. So I think that about does it for follow-up. Now we shall jump into the news. Solkiri album Mount Pleasant. Now that has come out a few days ago as of time of recording. In a few days' time, I will be sitting down with some members of the band to have a discussion about that episode. That episode will probably be coming out after this one, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to flag that. That's happening. Have you had a chance to listen to that record yet, Dave?
Nope.
No?
I haven't, unfortunately. So just so everybody is aware, there is a very large playlist that I'm curating at the moment, which is all of the prog releases from 2020. And I'm basing it off the new prog releases blogspot, which is available on, just Google it and you'll find it. I'll put a link in the show notes for you all. And I'll put a link in the show notes as well to this particular playlist. And it's got every single prog release from this year. So far, I've listened to everything, pretty much everything on that playlist, which is about 88 hours at the current stand. And we're, you know, halfway through.
I was going to say, that's an impressive amount of music to listen to.
Well, when you're at work and sort of in the line of work that I do, I have the ability to sort of listen to music pretty much all day. So I'm getting, you know, 9-10 hours of music in a day. So it's, you know, I can afford to do it. And you know, it's pretty interesting. So because I've been listening to so much stuff, there is just stuff that I just haven't got to yet. And some of it is like the new Solkiri album, which is on the playlist, but it's right toward the end. So there's a couple of albums I've been adding in the last couple of days that I haven't quite got to yet.
Well, to be fair, if you're going through all the – you're probably still, I don't know, somewhere in late February trying to get through the, you know, in terms of like – if it's chronological,
yeah,
you must be somewhere in about February time where this record came out 4 days ago at time of recording.
I'm actually up to I'm up to the 10th of March, I believe.
So you're not that far away.
I'm not that far away. But the issue with it is as well is that the actual blog itself, what happens is because obviously when it finds out that there's a particular album that's being released, I then go in and I see it on the day, you know, and I add it into this playlist. So sometimes those aren't available yet on Spotify because it's not that date in the States or in Europe or what have you. So that's sometimes part of it.
Yes. Yep,
and
yep,
sometimes
I get what you mean.
Things don't get added to that list as well until after the month is over. So I'm up to March 10 at the moment, but I'm still going through some of the stuff from February that got added in afterward. Does that make sense?
Yep, I get what you mean.
So, yeah, so I am up to that, but I'm going back and listening to some stuff that fell through the cracks, essentially, or wasn't on that list when I curated it from March. So, but we'll put a link to this thing in there, and everyone can have a listen.
Yes, we should. We should be talking about some new music, quite a bit of new music to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
So we're going to talk about a song that we actually like first, and then we'll get to the big one that we don't. Caligula's Horse, Dave, the new song that is out from their forthcoming record. Now, we have been given an exclusive access to play this song for you here on the 9-8 podcast.
We have indeed.
Thank you very much for that, Dave.
Hey, no worries. I messaged Dale the second that it came out, and I was like, can we please play the song? And he was like, yeah, go for it. I'm like, good.
So we're going to play that now, and then we're going to come back and have a bit of a discussion about it. What do we think, Dave?
Mate, it's Caligula's horse. They can't do anything wrong. It's clear, though, it is clear to me that all prog bands are now moving down that sort of synthesizer line. You know, there's some extra synths, and I think when when I shot this across so much you could, to a friend of mine and said to her, you know, hey, new keg, new seahorse out, listen, and she went, oh, cool, hashtag someone's been listening to Voyager.
I guess the thing is there's only so much you could do with seven-string guitars to build an atmosphere and that sort of thing. So I guess there comes a time in every prog musician's life when they start experimenting with some sort of plug-in synthesizer.
Absolutely. And I mean,
whether or not that takes the form of like keyboards, or whether it's just like mucking around on their computer with loops or whatever. I think, and then you trigger that live or something, and it plays through the as an intro roll. But I mean, it's a great song. I'm really looking forward to the record coming out.
Fucking oath.
When is the record coming out, Dave?
22nd of May, I believe.
Okay, so we've got a little bit of time to wait for that one. But it's definitely going to be worth the wait, and I'm looking forward to seeing these guys come around on the road whenever it is that they get around.
Absolutely. I mean, I am super keen to see these guys again, and catch up with Dale as well, buy him a beer. I'm really, really, really keen to see these guys on live and do a few shows here in Australia as well. So we'll be looking forward to that one, I think.
Absolutely. Now let's get along to the next big new song that came out in the last few days. Stephen Wilson's new song that's off the coming record. Hold on, Dave. Let me at least introduce the thing first.
Do you have to?
I was going to say, yes, because it's going to be a fun discussion. So Stephen Wilson's new album, The Future Bites, it's on its way out, and he has released the first single from that called Personal Shopper.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can hear Dave groaning in the background. So, Dave, fire away. What did you think?
If you really liked that disco album that whatever the name of the band was put out last year.
Oh, No Man's Love You to Bits. Yes.
No Man's Love You to Bits. Okay. If you really loved No Man's Love You to Bits, you're probably going to like this because it's got that same sort of weird disco-y kind of thing. I'm sorry, I'm just going to put it out there. It's not prog. It's pop. It's a nine-minute pop song, which means it's a very boring nine-minute song. I'm in a very weird position because I quite like some of Stephen Wilson's stuff, i.e. Porcupine Tree, all that kind of stuff that he did earlier on, like slightly heavier sort of stuff it wasn't super heavy. It was like a heavy rock kind of sort of sound, and it was really cool, and it was a bit edgy, and some of the lyrics were great and all that sort of stuff. And then we get this thing. I don't like it at all. I mean, maybe he's released the shittiest song off the album. Who knows?
He did that with the last record. Permanating is comfortably the shittiest song on that record.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, maybe that's the case for this one as well. But I mean, there've been so many memes that have come out with this.
you should see him. You should see the Stephen Wilson fan club page. Man, he is getting dragged like hell for this one on there.
Good.
The thing is, though, the problem is with Stephen Wilson fans is there are people in two camps. There are the people like your good self who liked the old stuff and aren't really sure about this new direction he's going into, where he basically wants to become Prince or ABBA. And then you've got the other group of fans who, as Mark Kelly from Marillion once described, we could fart into a paper bag for 15 minutes and those people would still say it's the best thing we ever wrote.
100%. 100%.
So I played this song for my wife, and I wrote down a couple of things that, well, she wrote down a couple of things for me to, that I'm happy to quote her on, about the song that she said. She said, firstly, when is he going to stop trying to rip off Pain of Salvation's Scar Sick?
100%.
All of this was already done much better 12 years ago.
Yep.
And the second
years
one
ago,
was
2007. 13 years ago.
Oh, 2007. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. 2007. And the second one was, can I ask why are birth control pills put in the same category as phone skins and designer sneakers? Is female choice and reproductive freedom luxury for you, you self-important wanker?
Mate, I think your missus and I are connected on a she's reading my mind, please get the fuck out of my head level. Because I mean, seriously, I'm 100% with her on that. And this is the problem with him, right? He's kind of a good muso, right? You can't take that off the guy, all right? I actually think he would be a great producer. Like, I'd love to work with him on a production level. I think it'd be really, really interesting. But I think he is a self-important wanker. And I can't, yeah, no, this particular song, I mean, ugh. Yeah, okay.
He, the self-important wanker part, he gets a lot of the blame for Opeth going off into the direction that it does. Hashtag make Opeth growl again. He gets a lot of the flack for that amongst the Opeth fans because it's well acknowledged that Stephen Wilson and Mikhail Akerfeld are friends. Hell, Mikhail Akerfeld was in Stephen Wilson's wedding party. Mm-hmm. So that kind of tells you the level that those two are kind of friends on. So Stephen gets a lot of the crap for sort of dragging Opeth into that direction. I don't know how much of that is founded. I'm pretty sure Mikhail's more than capable of making his own decisions about his own music on his own. Thank you very kindly. My personal opinion on this song, I mean, I'm prepared to defend this song musically because this musically is very much like, let's ignore the lyrics for a second because I've got a whole other set of opinions about that. Musically, I'm prepared to defend this one because this song is very much in the mold of what Stephen Wilson does. Taking vintage sounds and recording them with modern production. There's a lot of very typically 80s synth sounds here that are getting that have been re-recorded with some modern production technique, which sound kind of cool. And there's a couple of musical callbacks to a few Porcupine Tree things in there. Lyrically, on the other hand, I've never really been a fan of Stephen Wilson's lyrics, any of it, frankly. Some of them a bit, but this one, it's kind of talk. I mean, I like to make the joke with my wife that, you know, I think it was on Pariah. I think it's where he's talking about how tired of Facebook he is. And it's like, oh, yeah, here we go. You know, ooh, another person talking about how tired they are of Facebook. Ho-hum. And same with this. Oh, yeah, here we go. A cynical take upon consumerism. The bit that rankled me a little bit with the lyrics is when there's a lyric in there about deluxe box edition sets and like buy it in green and buy it in pink. And I'm like, oh, come on. You cannot sit there and cynically talk about, ooh, the consumer is sheep buying multicolored vinyl packs when you are the one who's putting them out.
That's right.
As of a couple of days of recording, he's like literally just put out like In Absentia in some multi 5.1 vinyl remix, 180-gram vinyl issue. It's like, oh, come on. You can't be tongue in cheek about that, and then do that as well, and not expect people. And okay, you can, fine, you can do whatever you want, but you can't do that, and then not expect people to call you out on it. So anyway, I mean, Stephen Wilson, new song, personal shopper. I'm kind of going, look, let's frame it in this context. Does this song make you want to rush out and pre-order the new album? Yes or no?
No fucking way.
Same here. I'm not in a hurry to pre-order this one either. I'm prepared. I mean, I'm prepared. I'll listen to the record when it comes out, obviously, because I'll be interested to see whether the rest of the record is kind of like this. But I'm in no hurry to go out and buy it.
No, I'm the same.
So we've complained loudly and long enough about that particular song. Let's talk about something that I actually like. Now, this one came through from Lachlan Dale at Artist Catharsis. They've just signed a new Swiss post-rock band called Hubris. And their new album, Metempsychosis, is out now. Now, I doubt you've probably heard this one yet, Dave. I know this only came out. This came out yesterday as we're recording, so.
No. It is, I know, it, again, it's on that playlist.
Yep, it's on the playlist. Yep. So I had a chance to listen to this yesterday, and I thought this is really cool. Now, it is technically debunked as post-rock, but the reason I'm calling this out is this is not like a typical post-rock album. There's a lot of interesting time signatures and really cool musical moments in this record. Now, we're going to put a link in the show notes to this record. Now, people have always asked us via email and on social media, how can we support the show? Here's one way you can support the show right now. There is an affiliate link in the show notes for this record. If you want to have a listen to this record, use the link in the show notes. Now, I have to disclose here, we're not financially benefiting from this at all.
Nope.
This is just a little arrangement that I came to Lachlan and said, hey, have you got is there an affiliate link we can put to this? Because we really want to promote this record because I think it's a really cool record. But we don't stand to financially gain from anything from this. But if you do click the link, it does show to other people that, people listen to the show, and people check out, if not actually buy, records that we suggest on the show. So
absolutely. Everyone who is interested in that should definitely check out the link in the show notes below. And speaking of buying albums, Bandcamp has been doing something really cool to do with COVID-19, Hoggy.
So one of the things that people have been doing to support the arts in the community, and we're going to get onto a whole topic about this later in the show, but I'm just going to quickly mention that this thing, that Bandcamp had waived all their fees for a 1-24-hour period, and that spawned Artist Catharsis to waive their fees on records that they had the rights to release and sell for the rest of this month. So we have a big piece of prog news out of the Australian prog community. Toehider are releasing their new album, which is called I Like It.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if nothing else, click the link in the show notes to their Bandcamp page and go and have a look at the artwork for this album. It is fantastic.
Of course it is. I'm assuming it was salty, right?
Yeah, it's always salty. Yeah. It's all salty. Now, the CD version won't be shipping for quite a number of months now, given the current delays that are going on worldwide with shipping and that. The record won't actually be available in a physical format until September. Mm-hmm. Now, ignore what Bandcamp says. Bandcamp can only take pre-orders 90 days in advance of the thing. So as the time goes on, the date will eventually get closer towards when it's supposed to come out in September. Mm-hmm. But because I am a Patreon of Toehider, and anyone else who is a Patreon who has been giving money more than the $8 a month tier will be getting a copy of this record and shipped out to them when it is ready.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be getting a copy of this record. So if you are one of those Patreons, you don't need to go and buy this record again, unless you want to buy it on vinyl or purchase it with a T-shirt or any of the many, many excellent bundles that are happening on their website.
I was going to say, there's a whole bunch of things here. You can buy just the shirt. You can buy the CD and shirt bundle, which can be signed on request. The I Like It 180-gram double vinyl with a download card, so also signed on request. CD and double vinyl combo, also signed on request. They're all signed on request. So I'm going to stop saying that. CD, double vinyl, and shirt. Super mega combo pack. Yes, that's actually what it's called, which is a CD, double vinyl, shirt, plus entire discography on CD, and then the record / vinyl and a whole bunch of other things. And can I just say, really good to see a band finally releasing a shirt that is not black.
Yes.
Because you can get this shirt in red, and I look horrible in red, so I won't be ordering it. But you can do that, and it's amazing. I'm just waiting for the day a metal band brings out a white shirt, like Dream Theater did back in the 2009. I think it was the Black Clouds and Silver Linings tour. They had a white shirt, and it was awesome, and I bought it.
The problem is with white, though, is you end up with just pit stains, and they're impossible to get out. Without, like, you can, like, with bleach and stuff, but then you run the risk of ruining the whole damn shirt, as I have done.
Well, yeah, but, it's metal. But no, definitely jump in and order this album, because it is going to be an absolute banger. On that site, you can actually listen to one of the tracks already called He's There and Then He Does That. Which has got to be the most clickbaity title I've ever seen for a song ever. But it's awesome. It's really, really good. And it's fantastic to see Toehider still smashing through, particularly with everything that's going on in the world right at the moment.
Well, unfortunately, he kind of has to. I mean, not for those of you who may not be aware, I mean, Mike Mills' day job is like he plays as a musician for like events and, like a covers gig kind of person, and unfortunately with all that's going on, most of that work is now completely dried up, so The man needs support from the arts community.
Which is exactly what we're going to be talking about in our main topic.
Yes.
Now, there is a whole bunch of news that happened this week that we're kind of going to gloss over right now. So, Genesis reunion tour, I mean, there could be a whole episode on that about the whole Genesis fan base and fake news being reported in The Sun and The Mirror and then all people whinging about it because, you know, people don't want to pay $200 for a ticket and all £200 for a ticket, etc. We'll gloss over that. We'll park that. We'll come back to it at some point. Metallica have opened a brand new vinyl club for lovers of vinyl, including like rare things and all that sort of stuff. So if you really want to get your on, then just buy that and be happy. And Kansas have also announced a new album as well called The Absence of Presence, I believe. Fish has also released the music video for Weltschmerz, which is really, really cool. Definitely go and check that out. And there's a new song from Marisus Duta, The Song of a Dying Memory. Now, all of these are going to be in show links below. So definitely check that out. Check all of these out. It's just, as with everything going on in the world right at the moment, we felt it was far more important to focus on the Australian stuff and our main topic, which is what we can do for the arts in the wake of everything that's happening at the moment in COVID-19. Now, something that's really, really funny, and the keen-eared of you may have actually picked this up. This is the second time we've recorded this episode.
We recorded this once.
Got it all done, all finished, and all silent and everything like that. And this last week has been so insane with all this COVID stuff that basically Hoggy messaged me and said, I reckon we should probably do a full episode on this and let's put it out next. Okay, cool. Let's do that. So COVID-19, Hoggy.
I don't think it's the problem with, because of what's already happened and what potentially could happen between now and when we release this episode, the only piece of if you ever wanted advice, my advice would just be stay safe, everybody, and check with your local authorities regarding issues of movement and congregation, because everything is changing so quickly. Anything we say here is probably could be irrelevant by tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And that has already happened to us once. We had a whole section about what's happening and what can we do and all the rest of it. We had to scrap the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
if you are in Australia, and for those of you around the world who aren't necessarily sort of following what's going on in Australia, at the moment Australia has a level 4 travel warning, which basically means don't travel. We have shut our borders to everyone that's not Australian coming in, which I think will actually get changed on Tuesday, by the way. I think we're going to go into full lockdown on Tuesday, but we'll see what happens. The government have put in provisions for basically local authorities to lock down sections of areas. So if there's a particular bad outbreak, say in one particular suburb in Sydney, they can lock that whole suburb down, etc. All of these things are going to be announced on Tuesday, I think.
Are they though?
Yeah.
This is the problem though, because you said that thing that happened that was going to be announced and then it didn't happen.
And it didn't get announced, I know, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just going off what Scummo said on
Scotty from marketing.
Yeah, what Scotty from marketing said yesterday when I was watching the press release. Mm-hmm. And all of the measures that Australia and indeed many of the other countries in the world have taken have been basically escalatable. So they've been able to be quite quickly adapted to the situation and change the rules around a whole bunch of different things. Unfortunately, the first thing that kind of got hit, and I don't know if it was the same in your country, listeners, wherever you're listening in from, but the thing that got hit first was live music venues and hospitality and all that sort of stuff. Now it is to the point here in Australia where every venue can only have so many people in it based on the size of the venue. So if you have a 100 square meter venue, you need to provide 4 square meters per person in that venue, which means that you can only have 25 people in the room. So
good luck trying to run a profitable gig with that sort of space restriction.
Exactly. So basically, this is going to shut down the entire, and has basically already shut down the entire music industry here in Australia, and the arts industry as well, more widely. I have friends of mine who are in lockdown. In actual fact, Dan from Polaris, the drummer, and his girlfriend Tess, they are in lockdown at the moment because
Otto
Tess,
from yeah,
go I was on, say, because the Tess bit. Is a Tess works in a institution where they got shut down, so she is now in isolation, literally two streets away from me. You were saying Otto.
Otto from the Sleep Makes Waves is in self-isolation.
Yep.
All of the members of Marillion are in self-isolation as well. I mean, they have all been sent home. They're still working on their new record, but they are currently working on their new record from their own houses.
Yep, yep. There's no secret that the Dream Theater tour was cancelled. So the big question is, how can you help and how can you support the industry? Now, there are many different ways and there are many different things that have been happening in and around the industry. I do want to talk about one in particular. We've touched on some other stuff and we'll give you some really good advice for supporting local artists and your favorite artists and such in this particular time. But I do want to talk about one particular initiative that, frankly, I think is a bit of a wank. And that is the whole hold on to your tickets thing. Have you seen this, Hoggy?
Oh, I was wondering if you were going to bring this up, Dave. Hashtag keep your ticket.
That's the one. Yeah.
I go backwards and forwards on this one, frankly. Like, part of me thinks it's, like, horrendously classist to assume that everyone's going to be able to afford to hang on to hundreds of dollars worth of concert tickets for something that might happen in 6 months.
And particularly at the moment where people are facing... you know, job losses. I mean, 20,000 people were stood down from Qantas.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
what I mean?
And all, I mean, as well, there are entire industries that are being put down to like skeleton staff at the moment, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, I've got friends in the mining industry and they've told me it's like, yeah, like our entire department has been closed down and we've been sent home to try and cut costs in the wake of spiraling market prices and things like that, because that whole industry is connected to the markets. And if the prices in the market take a tumble, that can directly affect operations on site. It's a whole big mess that we don't frankly have any time to get into. But the fact of the matter is that a lot of people are going to lose their jobs and there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be, you know, basing some unreliable income streams. But hey, totally, you know, hang on to your tickets for these gigs.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, but if you have the money
flip side to
do
that,
it.
Yeah. Yes. Right?
If you've got the money to do it and you can afford to hang on to those tickets, like I'm in the fortunate position that I can hang on to my Carnival tickets, for example, and my Voyager tickets, which are coming up in May. Be interesting to see if that gets rescheduled, actually. Obviously, it depends on the actual numbers and such as well. Mm. I mean, if they don't lift these number restrictions, then the whole tour will go to shit. So, you know. But, you know, I'm in that lucky position. I'm fortunate enough where I can afford to do that and hold on to those tickets, and I'm happy to do so. But there are a lot of people who can't. So, I mean, personally, I think it's a little bit of a wank for these guys to have to encourage people to do that.
I can understand why they're doing it, though, because let's just take one tour, for example. Let's take the Iron Maiden tour.
Yep.
Okay, 20-something odd thousand people at each of those shows, probably more in some cities, whatever. If everybody asked for their money back, I'm pretty sure that would bankrupt the promoter.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I doubt very much whether they've got enough money in the bank to pay back everybody's tickets. They'd have to go through insurance and things like that. Mm. So, like, can... So I can understand why the promoters are... in like saying to people, if you can keep your hashtag, keep your ticket.
Yeah.
But you know, it's still, I don't know. It still feels a bit like a sort of like almost like a guilt trip in a way.
Yeah. And that's this kind of, I suppose my objection to it is that it does feel a little bit like a guilt trip. But now
that we've got the negative things out of the way, let's talk about some of the positive initiatives that we can do.
Indeed. Indeed. And one of the biggest things is obviously virtual gigs. So assuming the internet holds up, So some of you obviously know that Hoggy and I run the Dream Theatre Fan Club of Australia and New Zealand, and we're pretty active in prog forums and things like that. Hoggy more so than I, because he's just got a little bit more time to do that sort of stuff than I do. But friend of the show and the unofficial third host, I suppose you could put him as Joshua Batten, did a live stream the other night. And it was fantastic. It was really, really, really good. He, at one point, I think he had about 100 people watching, and he was just saying to all those people, hey, go and buy some merch and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, and this is realistically what I've been saying for a long, long time, and that is, you know, I'm much more a fan of streaming albums and things like that, but then supporting the artist in other ways. So I'll go to a show, I'll buy some merch and so on and so forth. At the moment, I can't go to a show because, you know, well, I can't pay to go to a show anyway. So I'll still buy some merch. And I think that's a really, really good way to do it. You know, buy some merch, have it shipped to you, even if it doesn't come for a little while, you know, $20, $30 or something like that, just to support an artist and make sure that he or she doesn't go under. That's a really, really good initiative, in my opinion. What do you think, Hoggy?
I agree. There was one thing I was going to call out as to add to that, something that we were talking about here, Joshua, where he say, you know, go to my Bandcamp, pre-order my record. So another band, Bonnie Songs, have done something different, where if you go to their Bandcamp page now, there is a something that is called, they've got their new album, Energetic Mind. So if you go to their Bandcamp page, there is a link where you can just straight up give them money. Ooh. And there's like a link, it's sort of like, you know, hey, donations go here sort of thing, and you just can give them money.
So it's kind of like the old school days, or my Nashville days, I should say, where, you know, you'd have a tip jar and people would put just money in the tip jar essentially, but it's digital.
Buskers on the street with their guitar case, and you leave the guitar case open and drop some coins in on your way through.
That's a really good idea.
Yes. So my suggestion would be is if you are a musician and you are planning to do that sort of thing, you know, planning to do a live gig either on Instagram or Facebook or wherever, then put something like that up on your Bandcamp page where people can just go and straight up give you money. If they want to buy some stuff too, you know, that's fine. But, you know, if people don't necessarily have $10 or $15 to spare to pay for a thing and they can just give you like, you know, a couple of dollars – you know, every little bit kind of adds up, I guess.
Absolutely. And you know what? That could be the difference between, you know, a podcast or a artist or, you know, a musician or something like that, putting their next artwork out, putting their next piece of thing, putting the next bit of food on the table and them going completely under, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's not what we want in this particular point in time. I don't think we ever want that. But particularly when you think about what the Australian music community did for the fires and the floods and all that sort of stuff that they've done in the past, now this is the point where all those people who benefited, or, you know, all the people who went to those concerts and everything like that, maybe not necessarily the people who lost their houses, but the people who benefited from those gigs, now it's their time to help these guys out. And it'll be actually really interesting to see whether or not a lot of them do. But I hope they do.
I do as well, but I wouldn't count on it. Like, I think, I don't know, there just seems to be this idea in this country that the art, I mean, this sort of idea and thought that the arts really aren't that valued in this country, which is really, really fucking disgusting when you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, there are several repositories where you can go to have a look and see, well, what is being, you're at home and you're, we'll listen to some live music. You think, well, what's happening tonight? What is being live streamed, or what's around? There is a page on NPR, which we're going to put in the show notes, which is a link to a whole bunch of different things that are happening. Now, I know there are some opera companies in Europe, one in Austria. I think the Germans are doing it as well, where they are putting up as a live stream pre-recorded performances of operas that they were going to perform. Mm. I think the Met Opera in New York is doing this as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they were going to, I think coming up in a couple of days' time, a section from Wagner's The Ring was going to be performed.
Okay.
But because they can't, you know, through social distancing and the isolation, they can't actually perform that in the state, but they're going to put a pre-recorded performance of that up on the internet.
Awesome.
So I'll throw a link in the show notes to NPR, and there's a link to a whole bunch of other different things, like other live streams that are happening. There is a Facebook page that is called Virtual Prog Gigs, which is fast becoming a place where lots of different things are being talked about, lots of different links. You'll probably find me and Dave on that group as well, actually. We're posting quite a lot of links to that group when we see them as we're going through Facebook.
We sure are. It's not got a whole bunch of members at the moment. It's only got about 400, 500 or thereabouts. But it is most definitely worth checking out because anyone who's anyone in the prog scene, in the smaller prog scene, are going to be doing some stuff there. And you know what? Now is a really good time as well for if you are a musician to maybe do some live streams and do stuff where it's like, hey, this is the new stuff that I've got coming up. You know, this is what I'm working on, et cetera, et cetera. So it could be very interesting from a collaboration point of view as well.
Yes. Now, if you want to do live streams, your option, you can do them on basically a platform you can think of, but there is one restriction with YouTube, and this comes from friend of the show, Malcolm Galloway.
Yep.
If you want to live stream something on YouTube, you need to have at least 1,000 subscribers before YouTube opens that particular gate for you. So if you don't have 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, unfortunately, that one is closed to you. But Facebook and Instagram and Twitch and all those places will allow you to stream whenever you like, whenever you like.
That's right. That's right.
There is another thing that has been launched, which is Bands in Town Live. If you go to Bands in Town, there is a section there for the live performances that they are putting, that they are sort of linking to. Mostly they're on Twitch and places like that, but so there, you know, there's a resource there if you're looking for some live streams to listen to.
Yep.
And the great thing about Facebook and all that, about Facebook, I don't know about Instagram, but at least on Facebook, those live streams get saved so you can come back to them, especially because, oh, yes, I need to mention one thing here. If you are going to do a live stream and you're going to put an announcement on Facebook, please mention what time zone you happen to be in. There have been so many times where I've mentioned, like, hey, like there's one here that's happening – I think it's happening today as we're recording this, and it starts at 1 o'clock in London, but it didn't say that on the poster. And I thought, I couldn't tell, like, is this in London? Is this in New York? Is this in LA? You know, what time zone are people in? So if you're going to do live stream, make sure you tell people what time zone you happen to be starting this thing in.
Absolutely. It's very, very important, particularly at the moment. We are really dealing with a global economy. So, you know, if you're going to, if you were just find out what time zone you are in, you know, if you're starting at 1 a.m. or 1 p.m. GMT, put that in and then people can work it out from there. You know what I mean? It's much, much better to do it that way and then not to have to worry about people messaging you at ungodly hours and being like, yo, where's the stream and blah, 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 you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Or you just have people like me in the comments going, what time zone are you in? If you just put that in there straight up, then everybody knows where they are and then you can time shift that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
There are various groups as well who are putting up some sort of pay what you want type arrangements. And I'm going to call out one of these right now. This is Birds Robe Records. Friend of the show, Mike Solo, who runs Birds Robe Records. So he has put up a Birds Robe sampler. This is what you where you pay what you want. And the idea is that if you send him your favorite artists, he'll send you a couple of CDs he thinks you will enjoy. Maybe a bonus from time to time as well. And you can order as many copies of this bundle as you like, and they'll be added to a reduced at a reduced shipping rate. And you get digital downloads as well.
Absolutely.
So that's for $25.
That's so, really good.
And Birds Robe Records has a lot of artists on there. Anubis were on there, Toe Hider's on there, Sleep Makes Waves. There's so many artists. There's a shirt you can buy, actually, where they're all listed on the back. Have a look on there, see what you like. If you've got some money to spare to have a look at that, give that one a go. There's also a whole sampler CD that is available there, which is a collection of 26 songs from different artists that are there. Some of them are free, some of them aren't. But you can pay what you want to have that as a digital album. So if you are looking for some new music to go to in this age of self-isolation and social distancing, you can check that out because there is a lot of new great new music on there as well.
Now, on a slightly different note as well, that's all, you know, wrapped into this big, big thing. I'm certain that none of the listeners of this podcast, Hoggy, would be doing this, but Look, if you are in Australia or wherever you are in the world, don't be a dick. Don't hoard things that are necessities, because we have got serious issues with that in Australia at the moment. I don't know whether or not you saw this last night, Hoggy, but the pasta and rice, I believe,
is currently in
shortage because people are buying too much of it.
Well, people were buying too much of it, and then they got in and put restrictions on it and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So.
I don't know. This is very quickly becoming kind of like a Lord of the Flies situation. And I've seen like photos of, you know, lines at the front of gun stores and all that sort of thing in America. And
absolutely. But
it'd be nice if people could actually think like as a collective instead of just thinking for themselves as an individual.
Exactly.
Look, this is what like end stage, you know, late stage capitalism produces, doesn't it? It just produces a bunch of like individuals or anything for themselves and don't think about the creative collective good. I mean, there are also, you know, stories of people who are just going around and doing whatever they feel like as if life carries on as normal and, it's not my problem because it's just a bunch of old people that are going to die. It's like, God damn it. That is a fucking pathetic attitude to have.
It really is. So we can't stress to you listeners enough about the importance of, you know, if you have COVID or if you're tested to have COVID or you think you might have COVID, stay the fuck home.
Yeah.
Listen to all of the relevant authorities. Make sure you're up to date with the news and so on and so forth. Maybe don't watch the news as rigorously as I do, because I can tell you it's a bit of a Debbie Downer.
I have a completely different response to that. Is my thought to you, smash your television, don't watch the news at all. Like, if there is an official release from your particular, you know, authority in charge, read that. Don't watch it. Don't read news reports about it, and probably don't listen to talkback radio about it either, because it's just going to be a collection of, you know, a lot of. The more and more people like try and re-disseminate the thing, the more opportunity there is for misinformation. So I would, like get it from the source. Go straight to your health organization, you know, CDC, WHO, or your, you know, your prime minister or president or whoever is disseminating that information from your government. Talk to them, listen to that, or listen to what they're saying, and take that on board.
Absolutely.
You know, into what you do, and you know, because there's a whole lot of misinformation and, you know, fake news flying around.
Absolutely. And if you are self-isolated, find something to do. So if you're a muso, work on some new music. If you're into books, read some books. Grab yourself a subscription to something and read some books. Or try writing a book. Learn a language. Do something to keep yourself entertained and keep your mind ticking over. If you're fortunate enough to be able to work from home, make sure that you are, if you live with people or you live with family or what have you, make sure that they understand that, no, I am at work. Stop bothering me.
Yes, the joys of the self-employed. I've listened to many people talk about this. It's like, just because I am at home doesn't mean I'm available to run errands.
That's right. You've got to be disciplined in that as well. And as someone who has worked for himself and worked from home for a long, long time, I can tell you one of the best things to do is just get up like you normally do at your normal time, have your breakfast or go for your run or do whatever it is you do. And then literally at whatever time you normally walk into the office, sit down. That's when your day starts. Now, if you can smash out all of your work in 2 hours and then you can sit around with your thumb up your ass for the next 6 hours, cool, do that. That's entirely up to you. But make sure you get into that routine of doing all of that stuff. And if you are interested in music, have any interest in the arts at all, support your friends that are in the arts industry, because right now they are the ones who really, really need it. And whether or not that means you pre-order a new album, you buy a shirt from them, even if you've got neighbors like I do who are musos, I can't go and see the guys from I can't go and see Dan and Tess because obviously self-isolation, etc. But I tell you what I can do. I can take them a little gift hamper around or something and leave it on their doorstep and say, and text them and say, hey, there's something on your door for you. Little things like that, even if it's going and grabbing, you know, little cupcake things or something and baking some cupcakes for some friends, it'll cost you what, all of $6 plus, you know, a bit of time. It's really important to be able to do those things as it stands right at the moment and support everyone and support doesn't just come from the money side of things, but it also comes from just being there for one another. The other thing I think we should probably really quickly touch on as well is mental health in this particular time.
Yeah, absolutely. Isolating yourself, you know, being, especially if you live on your own.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fortunately, I don't live on my own. I'm a married man now. But if you do live on your own, I've been there. It can be, and you go sort of weeks or even months without like touching another human being. Yep. You know, that can put you into like a, an odd place. And yep. There are resources out there. If you feel like you need to talk to someone, you pick up the phone and talk to someone, even if it, a professional mental health care worker or friends and family or somebody like that. You know, there are people out there who will listen to you and who can offer support to you in these trying times.
Mm, absolutely. Speaking from personal experience, as someone who hasn't been able to leave the country for 3 years and now four, thanks very much, COVID, the issue with self-isolation is not the fact that you are isolated. It's the fact that you aren't allowed to go anywhere. So on any given day, I could spend 3 weeks in my room playing video games and writing music, right? No issues at all. But the second someone tells me you're not allowed to leave outside, that's when cabin fever sets in.
Yeah,
so it's
absolutely.
Very much that psychological thing. So I suppose the end of this, what are the takeaways, Hoggy? What should people be doing?
Well, there's actually a list that I'm going to put in the show notes that was very helpfully posted on the Prog Magazine website that goes through many things that you can do one thing I can just say to people, if you are in a position where you don't have like money to spend on things, if you know that your friend is doing a live stream, make an effort to sit down and watch the live stream.
Mm-hmm.
Be in the room, virtual room with them.
Mm-hmm.
And make a comment on, oh, I really liked that song, or you can give your virtual presence to people by being in the room and watching their live streams. That's one thing I can suggest.
Share it as well.
Yeah, sharing it around as well is also something. Share it on your page if you're in a particular group, even if it's not a music related group, any group. I'm sure people out there will be interested. I want to listen to a bit of music at some time, and they'll click on that link. So, and the other thing, like, comment and subscribe. I know it's a dreadful thing you can do, but dreadful cliche, but to actually be active when you see a musician has saying, hey, I'm going to be on a live stream, make sure you tell, get on there and say, yes, I'm really, because just liking it doesn't really get you anywhere on Facebook, unfortunately. It's the comments and the sort of reactions and the conversations that are driven around that push it forward in the algorithm.
Yep. Absolutely.
If we learned anything from ProgAid, and if this were any other time, we'd have a whole section about that as well, but we don't.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything that we learned from that, it's that the organic sort of comments and conversations that are driven around a post are what push it forward in the algorithm.
That's right. That's right.
So do that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
If you're in a position where you can – where you have money and you have disposable income at hand, pre-order records.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a tour that has been postponed and you had thought, oh, I hadn't got to my tickets for that, but it's been postponed, see if you can get your hands on the tickets for the new gigs.
Yep.
Get that money coming. I know we just sort of spent a bit of time yelling about keep your ticket, but if you're in a position where you can afford to do those sorts of things, that would be my suggestion. It'd be like, if there is a postponed gig that's happening in your area and you are in a position where you can buy a ticket to it.
Yep, absolutely. I think it all boils down to, if you're in a financial position to help financially, do that. If you're not, find a way to help. And that can be just as simple as even sending a message to someone who you know is in isolation and be like, hey, how are you traveling?
Yes, absolutely.
That can be
the other thing I was going to say, if you're in – and you mentioned earlier about books. I know a friend of mine who has set up – this is meant to be like a private group, so I won't be sending links to this particular one, but maybe it'll give you an idea to do something similar. He started up, I forget what it's called, but it's basically a book club, a private group where they go, hey, the book of the month, we're going to talk about a book, and everybody can get their hands on the book either via Audible or at their local library or ordering it from somewhere, or even, shoot, there might be a free copy of it kicking around somewhere online because it's out of copy, it's out of the private domain into the public domain.
Mm-hmm.
something like that. So maybe there's an idea. You know, you can start, you know, hell, even start like a private album listening club.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Kind of like what this podcast is probably going to become in the coming weeks, where we'll probably just pick an album for everybody to listen to and then we'll talk about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So look, that's kind of brings us to the end of the main topic, I think, for the day. The main things we want you to take away is obviously help people if you can, be safe, and for God's sake, wash your hands. And that's not like a lick and a promise, like a proper, actually I heard a really good one the other day. If you start at the start of the lyrics to Welcome to the Black Parade and sing basically until the end of that first verse, then that's 20 seconds, roughly.
Now, the one that I was always taught in school was if you sing happy birthday to yourself twice, that will get you to 20 seconds. So if you're just sitting there and just hum it to yourself twice, that's about 20 seconds. And all those memes on the internet about washing your hands to the length of a song, and the length of the song is Carnival 9, that is just hilarious.
Or Octavarium. So
I think that about wraps that up.
Yep.
So let's jump into our album reviews. All right, so last time on the show, you gave me the new album from the Night Flight Orchestra, Aeromantic.
What did you
think? This is a fantastic record.
Isn't it?
I mean, we just spent 15, 20 minutes on this show yelling about how much we hate Stephen Wilson doing, like, the shitty ABBA thing. This is how you do a proper, like, if you want to be, you know, if you want, you know, poppy melodies and kind of progressive songs, this is the album you want to get.
100%. Yeah,
this is a
brilliant,
fantastic album.
It's,
you know, really,
really
catchy
good
melodies, great little instrumental solo parts, and really cool, interesting time signature stuff going on there. It is a fantastic record. So all of the Stephen Wilson fans out there who are listening to this and agree with us that the song is not, you know, your thing, get out there and get a hold of this record instead, because it is fantastic.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, the record that I gave you, Dave, was by a band called Voyager 4, Pictures for an Exhibition. What did you think?
Really cool. Really, really cool. Reminded me a little bit of really early Pink Floyd, like Set Controls for the Heart of the Sun kind of stuff, but obviously way better produced because not 1960s. Really interesting few tracks in there as well. You know, the overall tonality of the album is great. It's really spacey, really, really awesome. Just quietly, it would be, I think, really good for stoners. So, you know, if you're a stoner and you like to toke and listen to music, this is probably an album for you.
Maybe for people who like to drop acid and listen to music as well, potentially.
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I haven't done either of those things, so I'll leave that one to the people who have.
Fair enough. So it's a pretty. I really enjoyed it. There were a couple of standout tracks for me, though. One of which was Promenade 2 from the Land of Feathers, which I really, really enjoyed, and also Catacombe Comortis in Linga Mortua, which I'm guessing is Latin for something, but I don't know what. But yeah, those two were absolutely awesome tracks. Really, really enjoyed them. Two thumbs up from me.
Fantastic. I'm really glad you like that. And these guys are playing at Night at the Prog this year. So if you're in that part of the world and you want to check that out, make sure you get down early for those guys, because it's a really cool little record. It's in July. I'm probably assuming that everything's going to be fine by then. So what have you got for me this week, Dave?
All right. So we were going to mention this in the news, but I figured, bugger it, we'll mention it at the end. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Novena, which is sort of like a supergroup made up of a whole bunch of prog people, including the amazing, amazing vocals of the frontman from Haken. So they've just released their album called 11th Hour, and that is your homework for this fortnight, my friend.
All righty.
What have you got for me?
So the album that I have for you is another one that comes a recommendation from my wife. Mm-hmm. This one is a band called Birds and Buildings, and the album is called Bantam to Behemoth. It's from a few years ago now. It's from 2008, I think.
Okay.
So that is your homework for this week.
Excellent, excellent. I will definitely check that one out. Yeah, absolutely awesome. I think that just about does it for
that
us.
That does wrap it up for this show. Now, if you want to find the show notes for this episode, you can find them at the98podcast.fireside.fm/50. This is actually, well, numbered our 50th episode. We actually passed our 50th episode some time ago. Mm-hmm. But and you can find us on Twitter at 98FM. And also as well, because this is the next part of the thing that we're going to be recording very shortly, is if you would like to support us on Patreon, you can find us at patreon.com/98podcast.
My name is David Ellis.
My name is Alex Hogg.
Thank you so much for listening in. Stay safe.
We shall see you all next time.
See you then.